We turn to the 31st chapter of Proverbs and the 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I somewhat hesitated to speak of this passage for several reasons. It can be discouraging. That is, I don't believe there's any of the sisters who would read it and say, I've measured up. This is me. This is a beautiful picture of me. I hope not, at any rate. And in that respect, it might be a little discouraging. But on the other hand, I feel that it is a line of things that we don't speak of enough. And the world has set before us values in connection particularly with women and the women's place in this world that are totally contrary to God's thoughts. And we need to have our thoughts corrected by God's Word, formed by God's Word, and as we get away from them, sometimes they have to be brought back to God's Word. It's a beautiful picture that we have here. This is a beautiful woman that is described here. Now, I don't mean to be in any way amusing when I say there's nothing about her measurements here. That's the world's way of measuring women. And it's a sad thing that young brothers sometimes, in their God-given interest in young ladies, have a wrong perspective as to what to look for. And I feel that we need to speak of these things, and not to spiritualize now. It's not my purpose at all to spiritualize this chapter. That is, to set forth anything typical about it. I think one might do that, but my exercise is to be very practical about it and to say, this, dear sister, is what God is looking for, what God values in a woman. And what, my dear young brother and older brother too, we ought to value. Perhaps I can mention this because the characters are no longer people that you and I are acquainted with day to day. But my younger brother, years ago, through military service, was transferred to an assembly far from here, long way from here. And it was an assembly where the brethren were rather strict with the sisters concerning their outward appearance. And my sister-in-law was a rather attractive lady. And all the things that these brothers told their wives were important were kind of thrown out the window when my sister-in-law arrived. And after the meetings, the brothers gathered around and talked to my sister-in-law and really made their wives feel sad. And my brother told me about it, and it upset him. And he said, Dick, I wonder if any of them really believe what they were telling their wives at home. And I'd just like to say this, dear brethren, as we get into the few things in this chapter. Let us be sure that we don't just read these things and subscribe to them academically, but let us show our appreciation for these qualities that God speaks of in His precious Word. Who can find, we read, a woman, a virtuous woman, or I believe it should be a woman of worth? Do you want to find out, dear sister, what God values and what He considers of worth in a woman? Well, here is where we're going to find it. I made my boys learn this scripture. I made my girls learn this scripture. And I'm thankful to the Lord that by His grace, I believe my wife and I can say He has given them, our girls, women of worth. And we're thankful to the Lord for that. It's His grace alone that does it. But I believe that if we want to have happiness in our homes, happiness in our children's homes, these are God's standards, and they've got to be set before our own hearts and before our children's hearts and displayed in such a way that they see that not only God values it, but that we value it as Christians. her price is far above rubies. Far above rubies. Oh, I sometimes think how blessed it is as I see, and I do see them. I see one and another of sisters, and I see them as women of worth, and oh, I think what a valuable thing that is. Not only to her family, not only to her husband, but to the assembly as an example, setting before her younger sisters in the Lord that which God values and appreciates. And sometimes I'm sad to say, just like that long, faraway assembly that my brother went to, I believe that we fail to show in a practical way, beloved, that we really appreciate what God appreciates. We really appreciate what God appreciates. The heart of her husband confideth, I believe it should be, doth safely trust in her. It says in our King James, but I believe the New Translation says he confideth in her. And I would just like to say, this is a lesson that I need. My wife knows this. She's going to know things this afternoon that you won't know, that I don't perhaps practice as I should as a husband, as a father. I'd just like to say that if there's anything I could do over again in my married life, it would be to confide more in my wife. To confide more. Not to hide things. Not to, even if you might have the mistaken idea to protect her from things, but to open up and have a full communication between husband and wife. It's a happy pathway. And I'd just like to say on the other side, dear sister, make it easy for your husband to confide in you. Make it easy for him to open up and to say what's in his heart. Don't reproach him, but just let him open up his heart in a free way to him as you want to him. Verse 12, I'm not going to cover every comment. I don't have something to say about everything, but there are a few things that have just struck me as I've gone through this chapter. Most recent time was this morning. I was find it my practice to read a chapter of Proverbs every day, and you know this is the 31st of June, and it's also the 1st of July, so I had to read two chapters today. And I enjoyed this chapter afresh, not with any thought of speaking about it, but I noticed in verse 12 that it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. God has put together husbands and wives for their own mutual benefit. The wife is a help meet, a suited counterpart to the husband. And I'm speaking in a way that goes back to creation. Yes, a lot of us fail in it, and there are unsaved husbands who have no thought of doing what this has here. And the world has established standards that are contrary to this. But I believe God would have us live in such a way, the one with the other, that we will do each other good and not evil. We'll pull together. We won't be, shall I say, sniping at one another. Instead, we'll be building up one another, doing them good. I remember a sister who told me that she never went to hear her husband preach the gospel. It made her too nervous. Now, I remember that brother's gospel preaching. It wasn't anything very special to listen to. But of all people, that sister should have been there, supporting her husband, standing by him, encouraging him, when perhaps no one else could. She should have been there to encourage him in that good work that he was doing. Yes, you can see, dear sister, and I'm sure just my wife sees perhaps more faults in me than anybody else does. But that's one side of it. The other side of it is, what do we do about it? Do we do him good or we do him evil? Do we attack him or support him? Do we help him? Do we bring God's word in a respectful way before him? Or do we nag him? You know, these are practical things. God has them in his word to exercise us. And there are tendencies in our heart that would go against all of these principles that are laid down in God's word as to what a woman of worth does. And no one of us, even the most ideal marriage, I'm sure, that's represented here this afternoon, no one of us can say, well, we don't need to be stirred up about this or that in here. There's always something that the Lord would speak to us about. And I think that's why, and I would just say, if you, young sister, read this and say, oh, I could never be like that. I don't have the energy, I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the grace. In a certain practical sense, that's true. Because what God has set before us here is all the things that he appreciates in a godly woman. But should we not try to be, in whatever measure God would give us to do so, just as we have here? Are these things here just to paint a beautiful picture, and it's not for our exercise? Oh, I'm sure you know as well as I do, it's there to exercise our hearts. Look at the end of verse 13. She worketh willingly with her hands. She worketh willingly with her hands. Thankfully, we have a lot of devices today that make work easier. At least they're supposed to. Sometimes I think we're fooled by them, but I think that we can be thankful that we have electric dishwashers and electric washing machines. And perhaps the emphasis in our whole society has been directed away, both for men and women, from working with our hands. And there's an interesting verse also in the Proverbs. I believe it says, in all labor, and if you look in the New Translation, it says, in all manual labor there is profit. In all manual labor there is profit. And I believe God intended that we use our hands and work with them. And I don't mean a brother who sits at a desk. I've sat at a desk most of my life. And more we live in a technological society where we sit at desks and find ways to make machines do things for us. But I think that the emphasis and happiness in God's word rests on working with our hands. Just as a practical thing, my grandmother used to say over and over again to us, the devil finds mischief for idle hands to do. And I believe that's true. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from... That's an important verse, beloved. She bringeth her food from afar. I think that sets before us that there is to be the care in shopping. When a sister goes to shop, there's to be the care that doesn't just run down to the convenience store for everything that we need. A prudent sister will find out where there's things to be brought. Now, I've told my wife this, and she knows it as well as I do, that sometimes you can run too far for things and spend more gas doing it. But as a practical matter, I believe that prudent buying is before us here. Prudent buying of food. And I just believe that that is something that the Lord would have us be careful about in a time when it's very easy to run down to a corner store and spend more money than we should and buy things that we shouldn't sometimes. And I believe a prudent woman, a woman of worth, will be exercised by the Scripture. She riseth while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and the day's work to her maidens. Now you say, Brother Dick, none of us have maidens today that we can give work to. It would be nice if we could. And that's true. Our socioeconomic system today makes it very hard for us to have large families, and I understand a little bit about the burden that a mother has when they have a lot of children. Both we had a large family, and our oldest son has 5 children, so we're aware a little bit of those things, and we know that it's a very real trial to a mother today. And I might just say in that respect, some of you young people that say, what can I do? What is there to do? There's nothing to do. I've heard it. Don't say you never say it. There's nothing to do around here. What is the last time you thought about going and helping a young mother who has children and say, Mary, Susie, whatever her name is, can I come over and help you this afternoon? Would it be appreciated, mothers? Wouldn't it? And would you learn something? If it's a godly woman, what a wonderful privilege to stand there and work together and perhaps learn something from an older sister of how to do things, some of the mistakes of life, be able to confide in her. That's a lovely thing. But you know, it isn't lying abed in the morning that's virtuous either. And we all like to do it sometimes, but I believe God here brings before us the importance, the practical importance of getting up and getting going in the morning. Some of us are more early risers than others, and I'm not drawing a distinction in that way, but I just feel there needs to be an emphasis on that. Getting up and getting ahead of things. Now you notice in verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. There's nothing here about her husband buying that field. She buys it. She buys it. You know, I believe brethren go too far who say that women should not ever engage in any kind of business or any kind of work. But I believe God's word shows us how that's to be done in this chapter. The kind of work that should be done. This is a woman who looks at a field and she buys it. She buys it and she plants a vineyard in it. Notice verse 17, she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. I want to say this. Working, bringing up a family doesn't always give a woman the most attractive figure, but to God it is. To God it is. I'm being very plain about it. We sometimes, in our standard of things, we have a classic picture of what a woman of worth looks like, and it isn't what God pictures her to be. This woman has strong arms. And as I traveled in Europe, I often saw, and I'm sure Brother John and Sister Minnie have seen that, women with strong arms and with a figure that showed the marks of bearing children and doing work in the home. Was that a beautiful figure to God? I believe it is. You can differ with me if you want, but I believe I have the Lord's mind when I say that that is a beautiful figure to God. I don't mean now, and I know you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying carelessness as to one's appearance is right. That's something I have to think about. But I just feel that we've put an emphasis on glamour on things that gets away from what God says. What God appreciates in a woman, and what you and I ought to appreciate in a woman too. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise or earning is good. The translation gives earning. Her earning. She earns money. Dear sister I knew over in Germany, Sister Madeline Hubner's mother, she had a jar. And I remember she put in there the egg money that she earned. And out of that egg money would often come some help to some soul in need. She had an earning. And husbands, I think it's nice to respect that too. To remember that there is a little joy that it comes to a woman in having that from which she can minister. They ministered to him of their substance, we read in the New Testament. There were women who ministered to him of their substance. Now, my wife once said to me this was one of the most discouraging verses, the 18th verse, because it says, her candle goeth not out by night, and previously it said that she rises well, it is a great well before it is day. While it is yet night. And it seems like, and we often have a saying, that a woman's work is never done. That's true, brethren, it is. It's true. But I believe the sense here is, in this 18th verse, not that she stays up all night, but that she's on the alert all night. It says her lamp goes not out by night. And many a dear mother has a turned-down lamp, a night light in our modern way of doing things, or a turned down oil lamp that's always there for the cry of a child, for the sickness that might arise during the night, or just for a distress that might come to her children. She's on the alert. There's nothing here about she goes to Parliament. There's nothing here about her being the Prime Minister. There's nothing here about her being active in the Senate, about any of those things that modern women value and think that they must have these liberties. Brethren, we've got to get back to God's way of doing things. The happiest, holiest privilege for a sister is the fulfillment of the things that we have in this chapter. And I'm not going to go into any more detail. The time has gone. But I just want to go down to the 27th verse. Well, I didn't want to skip the 26th verse. I'll just say this. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. I thank God for the wisdom with which my mother spoke to us boys. There's a wisdom. My dad gave us a lot of good things, but I think the things that I remember the most from my growing up days are what my mother gave me. And those who knew my mother know that she was a woman who opened her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness was on her tongue. Practice that. It's easy to be sarcastic. It's easy to be smart-mouthed. It's easy to be witty and say something nasty. It's altogether to God's honor and glory and to your honor to be able to say something kind. Make it the law, the principle, the undying, unfailing principle of everything you say, sister, to be kindness. Just ask yourself, as the word would pass over your tongue, and it's good for us brothers too, that everything we might ask ourselves, is it kind? Not necessarily is it true, it ought to be true, but is it also kind? She looketh well to the ways of her household. God holds you, my dear sister. In a household, she holds your husband responsible to him for that household, but he holds you responsible for the administration of it according to the principles laid down by the husband. You can't ignore it. You can't be reading a magazine when you should be watching the ways of your household. God hasn't promised you unlimited leisure to sit and watch television all afternoon and read magazines and that sort of thing that women think are important. That's what's wrong with our society. One of the things. It's mothers that make the difference in Israel. Read the history of the kings of Israel, and you'll see that it's the mother. It's the mother. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his father? No. Yes, it is. That's true. I mean, I know a little bit of that heaviness, but the real heaviness is the mother's. It's the mother's. Look well to the ways of your household. Don't eat the bread of idleness. That was the whole problem with the nation was of Israel, was that they got into ways of idleness. And God would not have that. We know that years ago, our poets even reminded us of that. The great Cowper, was it, that said, how doth the busy little bee improve each shining hour? My grandfather used to make us say that because he wanted us to be sure that we didn't waste a lot of time. The bee even teaches us a lesson, improves each shining hour. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Do you want your children to rise up and say, oh, I bless God for my mother? I bless God for my mother. You've got to work at it, sister. You've got to work at it. It won't come automatically. Children today especially have forgotten what the respect for mother and father is. But if you earn that, oh, what a blessed thing it'll be when your children rise up and do that, young people. Not just on Mother's Day or Father's Day. Do it every day. Tell your mom how much you appreciate what she's done for you. How much you appreciate the Word of God that she's instilled in your soul. How much you appreciate the hours that she spent taking care of you, ministering to your needs, and show your appreciation by helping too. Nothing wrong with that. And her husband also, and he praiseth her. Dear brothers, that's where we fall down, isn't it? How rarely do we say to our wives, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. I notice that in the New King James, that verse 29 is in quotes, and I think they concluded, and I think rightly, that that's what the husband says about his wife. It's a word of praise from the husband to the wife. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Is she the very best in your mind? Has she so occupied your heart that you can tell, I don't care what any of the others are like, you're mine and you're the best there is. We don't tell our wives that enough. And my wife will tell you, I don't tell her enough. No woman can hear that too much. Can't you, Brother Don? No. Favor is deceitful. Or the New Translation says, gracefulness is deceitful. Now, there's nothing more beautiful than a graceful woman, is there? You'd think. But it's deceitful. It's deceitful. The gracefulness of a woman is a very beautiful thing. But it can be deceitful. It can blind you to what the real qualities are. To what the real qualities are. And beauty is vain. Beauty's vain. All the thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of dollars that are spent on feminine beauty. Now, God notices comeliness in His Word. But the point is that without the inward qualities that God speaks of here, it's a vain thing. A vain thing. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised.